KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
You're tuned in to KAEB 91.9 FM. All music, all the time.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The maximum harvest level for Sitka's commercial herring fishery has been reduced, despite recent increases in the biomass. State fishery managers point to research from Canada that suggests more caution is needed in setting harvest rates than the 20% target used up until now. The Alaska Board of Fisheries adopted the new strategy to mixed reviews at its latest meeting in Ketchikan. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Calls for more conservative management of Sitka's commercial herring fishery have come to the Alaska Board of Fisheries before, many times. For years, those requests have come from subsistence harvesters, who say the management of the fishery has made it harder to access herring eggs, generally to no avail. But this year, two proposals to reduce the harvest level and raise the threshold for fishing originated within the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Based on state data, Sitka's herring population is thriving. So board member Tom Carpenter wanted to know, why now?
You know, if the overall biomass and the GHL that have been set the last 5 years were just barely above the threshold of 25,000 tons to open the fishery, I could totally understand doing something like this. But I have just not figured out why the department is bringing this proposal forward right now.
For the past two decades and more, ADF&G allowed for commercial seiners to harvest up to 20% of the mature herring population in Sitka Sound. Recent data out of Canada suggests a 20% harvest rate may be too high for some herring stocks. So state scientists want to reduce the maximum harvest level to 15%. ADF&G fisheries biometrician Sherry Dressel said the department wanted to take extra precautions until its own scientists could confirm the Canadian research.
And so I fully recognize that it looks incongruous to recommend this now when the population is doing well. However, part of the research has suggested that herring can switch productivity states quickly, and the analysis, if we did it, even to do a partial analysis similar to what's been done in British Columbia, would take at least another two board cycles.
The state's two proposals would lower the harvest target and raise the biomass threshold to conduct a commercial fishery. Both were met with mixed enthusiasm. Raymond May is a seiner in the commercial fishery. He said he appreciates ADF&G and trusts the model they use to manage the fishery, but cast doubt on the data from Canada.
I'm trusting their science, but I'm not trusting the harvest rate using data coming out of Canada. Canada used to have five fisheries. They're now down to one. That's not the place I'm looking to use science from, if it's my opinion.
Others said it wasn't conservative enough, and traditional harvester Tom Gamble of Sitka pointed to the state's overestimate of the mature herring population in 2024, which underscored the need for more conservative management.
We're not saying that they're bad scientists, but some of the numbers may have been skewed enough. When we read in a newspaper that the fishermen could have targeted 40% of their original GHL under an error, we have to pay attention to that. Because Sitkins, Alaskans, cannot afford errors in science. And so as we speak to threshold levels and other strategies for conservation, we can only hope that they work.
Dressel called 2024 a perfect storm of conditions that led to the state overestimating the herring population by nearly double. But Dressel added that the state's model accounts for errors like this. She knew that the 2024 forecast was more uncertain than most, and fisheries managers had that information going into the season.
We gave a sensitivity analysis which said if our data was wrong by this amount and in these ways, this would be your forecast. So the management had that information going into the season.
While seiners only caught a fraction of what they were allocated in 2024, Board Chair Merrick Carlson Van Dort said she remained concerned about the possibility of the perfect storm Dressel described.
I'm concerned that there could be an increased frequency in perfect storm conditions, if for no other reason than just the variability in the environmental conditions and the rapid changes that we see in that space. So again, I think this just kind of underscores my support and comfort level with going forward with a more conservative management scheme.
Van Dort was one of five board members who voted in favor of ADF&G's proposals to modify the harvest rate and threshold for Sitka's commercial herring fishery. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Participants in a popular subsistence fishery near Sitka will have an edge in coming seasons. The Alaska Board of Fish last week approved new regulations allowing the use of seine gear and gill nets in Readout Bay when at least 40,000 sockeye have cleared the falls and made it into the lake. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has this report.
In a state full of unique riparian systems, Readout Lake is pretty unique. It's 9 feet above sea level, but quite deep, so the bottom of the lake is saltwater and the top is fresh. It supports a relatively small but robust population of sockeye and a large population of Sitkins who make the 17-mile skiff ride every summer to the falls to dip net for salmon. But the characteristics that make Readout unique also make it fragile. Calvin Kespit with the Southeast Subsistence Regional Advisory Council explained that there is such a thing as too many fish.
Readout Lake, the last couple of years have had a huge surplus of sockeye salmon. According to the numbers that I have here, in 24, there was 210,000 sockeye through the weir, and the weir is above all the fisheries, so this is after all the harvest has been taken. In 23, it was 148,000. In 2019, it was 56,000. 2018, it was 71,000. This is above the optimal escapement goals of 7 to 25,000 sockeye salmon.
So Proposal 135, which would allow subsistence harvesters to use seine and gill nets, is more than just a way to support local human diets. It's also a management tool to keep escapements at optimal levels. Heather Bauscher, who formerly chaired the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee and now serves on the Petersburg AC, filled in some of this detail for the board.
It's pretty unique. It's a meromictic lake. It doesn't turn over like a normal freshwater system. There's a long history of having fertilized that lake to help support the sockeye, but now the sockeye returns are considerable to the point that they're worried about too many fish coming back and crashing the system.
The Sitka Ranger District of the U.S. Forest Service has been fertilizing Readout Lake for the past two decades or more, and funding for the program, now more than ever, is unreliable. All the more reason to keep the number of fish entering the lake at or below its carrying capacity of 25,000. The Board of Fish saw wisdom in this, but had concerns over execution. The daily harvest limits at Readout usually start low at 10 or 25 fish per permit holder at the beginning of the summer, and then increase to 100 per day in July. Board member Jared Godfrey from Eagle River was concerned that harvesters would blow right through these limits if they were allowed to use seines or gill nets.
You can't control your harvest level with gill net or seine. You get what's in the water, what you get. And what if it's an over-harvest? That's my concern. It far exceeds your subsistence. Now your mortality rate of throwing fish back, obviously some of them will survive if you get them back in, and the weight of the bag doesn't kill them.
This has been a problem in some other sockeye systems where nets are already allowed, and several permit holders join forces to seine and lose count of their fish. Keenan Sanderson with the Ketchikan, Tlingit, and Haida Community Council said Readout harvesters would almost certainly use small beach seines or similar gear, and that they'd get the hang of it.
All you have to do is just let down the rings and let the fish swim over the corks once you know you have what you can actually keep for your possession limit. So in terms of seining, I don't think there's a huge issue with mortality unless you're being very reckless with it.
Other board members expressed concerns over possible user conflict as the base of the falls can become crowded with subsistence dip netters and sport fishermen. The proposal was amended with language that would restrict the use of seine and gill nets to beyond 100 yards seaward of the falls. That settled it for board members like Tom Carpenter of Cordova.
Understanding that this gives more opportunity, there's no conservation concern associated with it. The use of a seine, although it may be a new tool for a lot of people, I think that it's the ability to wrap up too many fish and release them is fairly easily done. So I'll be supporting it.
The Board of Fish passed Proposal 135 unanimously. The new regs allowing the use of seine and gill nets in the subsistence sockeye fishery at Readout Lake go into effect this summer. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
Now, the rest of the story. A.S. Nico, N-I-C-O. Was his name, general superintendent of the Genesee Pure Food Company. The company's cornerstone product was a drink made of burned sugar and roasted rye grain, very popular in its day, and Mr. Nico was the plant superintendent. Now, one morning he and his employer, Francis Woodward, were touring the facility. Mr. Woodward, by the way, was also founder of Genesee Pure Foods. They were strolling the plant, came to the storage area, stopped. In a momentary silence, Mr. Woodward gazed at the mountainous pile of food cases, cartons containing a certain food product which Genesee had been trying to market for years, utterly unsuccessfully. Mr. Woodward then turned to his employee, Mr. Nico, and he said, I have a proposition for you. I'll give you everything that's in those cartons and all of the rights to the recipe for $35. The superintendent replied, wait a minute, I think first you should hear the rest of the story. The food product Mr. Woodward could not sell had not been selling for more than half a century. It was originally concocted in 1845 by a man named Peter Cooper, philanthropist, inventor of the famous Tom Thumb locomotive. Cooper even took out a patent on the formula, but nobody wanted it. And then in 1895, a New York cough medicine manufacturer named P.B. Waite went into the packaged food business. 2 years later, he added the Cooper concoction to his line of products. But Mr. Waite had no better luck in marketing it than had its inventor. So he, Mr. Waite, sold the product to his neighbor, Francis Woodward, the founder of the Genesee Pure Food Company, sold the whole thing, rights and recipe, for $450. But Mr. Woodward could not sell it. Couldn't sell it. So one day as he was touring his plant with his general superintendent, Mr. Nico, he happened across all these unopened, unsold, unwanted packing boxes full of the Cooper concoction, the stuff that refused to sell. He turned to the superintendent and offered to sell him that product, all of it, for $35. Today, more than 100 years later, that product is cherished among America's favorite foods. And it has been enormously popular as such since the turn of the 20th century. But now you know that it was a total flop for more than five decades. It was practically given away by Francis Woodward to an employee named A.S. Nico. P.S. Nobody remembers what the initials A.S. stand for. Nobody recalls as much as Mr. Nico's first name. He ended up a nobody in the history of merchandising. And the reason the history has relegated him to the annals of the semi-anonymous is because his employer, Mr. Woodward, kept the product and later marketed it successfully himself. Today, the entire world knows Cooper's concoction by the name Jell-O. Only now you know the rest of the story.
You're listening to Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. Senator Lisa Murkowski voted against confirming Kash Patel as President Trump's FBI director yesterday. Murkowski and Senator Susan Collins of Maine were the only Republicans to vote no, so Patel was confirmed. Murkowski said her objections stem from Patel's prior political activities. She wrote in a social media post that the FBI must be trusted to focus on fighting crime and corruption, not on settling political scores. Democrats warn Patel is going to use the FBI to carry out Trump's revenge agenda. Their view is bolstered by a book Patel wrote in 2023 called Government Gangsters. It includes a list of 60, which Patel says is not an enemies list. Murkowski wasn't convinced.
Basically, it's like his own little hit list, and it's like, that's not appropriate.
Murkowski has voted against two Trump nominees so far this term, Patel and Pete Hegseth, now the Secretary of Defense. In her view, both have taken actions that disqualify them from serving. But she's voted for others, like Robert Kennedy for Health Secretary, that she still has serious reservations about. But she says she needs agency leaders to return her calls about Alaska's priorities. Senator Dan Sullivan has voted for all of Trump's nominees so far. The number of Alaska high schoolers who say they've used vapes or e-cigarettes recently is declining. That's according to the latest data from the state's Youth Risk Behavior Survey. The survey shows 26% of high schoolers had vaped in the last 30 days in 2019. By 2023, that percentage dropped significantly to about 17%. Christy Knight heads the tobacco program of the state's Division of Public Health. She says the work the state has done to educate teens about the dangers of vaping is helping.
We did see an improvement in perceptions of harm in 2023, which demonstrates that our education is indeed working and that teens are more aware of how these products can harm their health.
According to the survey, more high schoolers think vaping every day can have serious consequences for their health. More than 40% of high schoolers believed that in 2023, up from about a quarter in 2019. Nicotine vapes may seem like they're made of water vapor, but Knight says they're actually full of aerosolized chemicals and metals. Scientists don't yet have a full understanding of how harmful those chemicals and metals are, but research links vaping to heart and lung disease and asthma. High schoolers also continue to consume fewer cigarettes, cigars, ikmik, and smokeless tobacco than in years before. This is Alaska Public Media.
The Alaska Morning News is brought to you in part by
First National Bank Alaska, offering a one-solution, tailored approach for your financial needs, from banking and loans to investments and more, helping Alaskans shape a brighter tomorrow. More at fmbalaska.com.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
You're listening to Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. Iditarod sled dog teams will now dash out of Fairbanks in under 2 weeks because of bear trail further south. Mushers in south central Alaska have been battling the low snow conditions for months, and where and how they're preparing for the race looks different this year. Four sled dogs pull Ryan Reddington on a four-wheeler around a lake in Kinnick, about an hour north of Anchorage. It's about 20 degrees, the sun is beaming through a few clouds, and the pavement in the parking lot is bone dry. He says he'd normally be training on a sled, but it's been months since a big snowfall.
When we get on a sled, it's a lot more fun. They're a fun group. Huh. On a sled, it's really something.
Reddington and his team will soon compete in the 1,000-mile Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. Reddington won the race in 2023. It's a competition his grandfather founded half a century ago. A lot has changed over the years. For the third time in a decade, the teams are leaving out of Fairbanks because of bear trail on part of the route out of Willow, not far from Reddington's home. Reddington says training conditions in Kinnick have been tough, bumpy, and icy for the last few months. Several generations of his family and their dog teams have run on these Kinnick trails, but Reddington says he's never seen them this bad.
It's trails that I grew up mushing on, and shocking to see it like this. The last year it was like this, I think, was 2003 and 2001. Hoping for snow, as always, but it never comes.
The area saw several feet of snow last year, but right now there's only about an inch on the ground, forcing Reddington and his dogs to spend more time training about 3 hours north on Lake Louise.
I think we broke about nine different sleds this year, and it was difficult to put the miles on. We've had to travel north, and it makes it more expensive, but we got to do what we have to do to get miles and prepare the dogs.
Down on the Kenai Peninsula, three-time Iditarod champion Mitch Seavey says recent high temperatures and rain created icy conditions that were tough to train on at times, even on ATVs.
The low snow isn't too bad because we do train on side-by-sides and four-wheelers, but occasionally we get rain and ice, and then it's slippery and not very good for even wheeler training.
CV travels with his team every year and has since his first Iditarod in 1982. He says it's standard for mushers to travel to train, not just in low snow years. Back up in Kinnick, 12-time Iditarod finisher Anna Barrington also says her team always travels, but she says never as much as this year. They've gone to Eureka, Cantwell, and Petersville. She says her dogs light up when they're loading up for a road trip because they know they're headed somewhere with better snow conditions.
the song Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere, pops into my head. It's good for them to run on different things, and they're not always running on the same trails. It challenges their bodies and minds in different ways to run different places.
Barrington was training on her sled in November, the earliest she ever has. Now, she says those once snowy trails are icy, bare, and brown. Training in minimal snow wears down sleds quickly. So, like Reddington, she swaps her sled for a four-wheeler when on her icy home trails. It's not ideal, she says.
There's a lot of ice, very low snow cover, and it's not good for long runs. And yes, we do encounter conditions like this in races, but it's not something you want to train on every single day for long miles or many hours.
Barrington says she'll keep an extra close eye on how her dogs are moving and their hydration if there's low snow on the trail. In Kinnick, I'm Ava White, and this is Alaska Public Media.
Women on almost any street. Lord, there's lots of mean women on almost any street. But I got the meanest mama that ever walked on 2 feet. That gal is so low down, I often wonder why. Lord, she's so low down, I often wonder why. That she keeps on living, I guess she's too mean to die. The old lady, the old lady, old lady. Now you trifling women always say you love your men. Lord, you trifling women always say you love your men. And when he goes out the front door, the back door lets a new man in. Lord, maybe two of them. The old lady, the old lady, old lady. Oh, pick it out there, buddy. Now there's two things in this world that I don't understand. Lord, there's two things in this world that I don't understand. One of them's a woman, the other one's a man. I'm gonna buy me a pistol, I think I'll get a 44. Gonna buy me a pistol, I think I'll get a 44. And when I get through shooting, that gal won't step no more. The old lady, the old lady, oh lady.
Cause I'm picking you up with a full moon shining and a little bit of luck. We'll run out of gas and maybe get stuck. We can get along, baby, I don't care. I ain't worried as long as you're there. There ain't no place that I'd rather be next to you, sitting next to me. There ain't no place that I'd rather be next to you, next to me. Chicken in aluminum foil, just enough money for my gas and oil. Who
need your shrimp and your caviar. I sooner have you just the way you are. Rich people got the money to hold. Mansion on the hill and diamonds and gold. They can't compare as far as I can see. Next to you, sitting next to me. There ain't no place that I'd rather be. Next to you, next to me. Song. I'll change the station if the news comes on. When the signal ain't coming in too strong, we'll make our own music, honey, all night long. If the good Lord's willing, when we're old and gray, the kids are grown up and moved away, we'll be rocking there side by side with the barbecue chicken and the TV guy. Well, there ain't no places I'd rather be. Next to you, sitting next to me. No, there ain't no places I'd rather be.
Jolly Dolly, how'd you rate that dish I wish was mine? Hey, Joe. She's got skin as creamy, dreamy, eyes that look so lovey-dovey, lips as red as cherry berry wine. Now listen, Joe, I ain't no hero, but oh, buddy, let me tell you how I feel. She's a honey, she's a sugar pie. I'm warning you, I'm gonna try to steal her from you. Hey, Joe. Though we've been the best of friends, this is where our friendship ends. I gotta have that dolly for my own. That pretty little chick to me. Hey, Joe, quit that waiting, hesitating. Let me at her, what's the matter? You're as slow as any Joe can be. Now come on, Joe, let's make a deal. Let me dance with her to see if she is real. Cutest girl I've ever seen. I'll tell you face to face, I mean to steal her from you. Hey, Joe, now we'll be friends until the end. This looks like the end, my friend. I gotta have that dolly for my own.
My friends can tell I took her leaving. Well, that's kind of right, 'cause when I'm out with them, I don't let her memory rule the night. wishing she would call. And just the other day, I took her smiling face down off my wall. I've come a long, long way, but I still miss her.
So round, so firm, so fully packed, that's my gal. So complete from front to back, that's my pal. Toasted by the sun, and I'm a son of a gun. If she don't make my 5 o'clock shadow, come around at one. You can bet your boots I'd walk a mile through the snow just to see her toothbrush smile. They mention on the radio, if you don't think she's a lot of fun, just ask the man that owns one. So round, so firm, so fully packed, that's my gal. So firm, so fully packed, that's for me. She's just like a money-back guarantee. Like a barfly goes for drink, like the Bobby Sox goes for Frank, and just like Jesse James would go for money in the bank. From head to foot, she's perfect size. She's a whiz, always wears a 45 gun, that is. She's got the look that's so impressing. She's got the pose that's so refreshing. So round, so firm, so fully packed, that's my gal. Done told me that I'm top hand. It won't be long till she wears my brand. So round, so firm, so fully packed.
Rock and roll. is there. We need a nationwide revival to get the love of God in our souls. We need a whole lot more of Jesus and a lot less of rock and roll.
Across the bay, a lady waits to hold me tight, and my boat and I are ready to set sail. If the weather keeps on holding and the wind is right, I'll be wrapped up in my sweet one's arms tonight, and we will sail away on the wings of love into the night. Cast out our fortunes on the sea, then we will go to sleep together with the rocking of the water. Dream of how our life will someday be when she sailed away with me. As I skip across the waves, my sails are high and full. My mind is on the one I wait to see. And I dream about an island somewhere in my mind, where someday I will take her off with me. And we will sail away on the wings of love into the night. Cast out our fortunes on the sea, then we will go to sleep together with the rocking of the water. Dream of how our life will someday be when she sailed away with me.
Then a smile comes upon me as I look across the bow. I see a lady on the side, but she will wait no more as I head for the shore. Cause tonight I'm gonna take her for a ride, and we will sail away on the wings of love into the night. Cast out our fortunes on the sea, then we will go to sleep together with the rocking of the water. Dream of how our life will someday be when she sailed away. We'll sail away on the wings of love into the night. Cast out our fortunes on the sea, we'll go to sleep together with the rocking of the water. Dream of how our life will someday be when she sails away. We sail away on the wings of
the only I'm going to California, where they sleep out every night. I'm going to California, where they sleep out every night. I'm leaving you, mama, cause you know you don't treat me right. Oh, lady, lady, lady. Listen to me, mama, while I sing you this song. Listen to your daddy sing you this lonesome song. You got me worried now, but I won't be worried long. Cause lady, lady, lady. Let me tell you something, mama. that you don't know. Let me tell you something, good gal, that you don't know. I'm a do-right papa and got a home everywhere I go. Got the California blues, and I'm sure gonna leave you, yeah. Oh no. Got the California blues, and I'm sure gonna leave you, yeah. I may ride the blind, I ain't got no railroad fare. Oh, lady, lady, lady.
Pledging their love to the ground. party I'll be found. Drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed. Cares of the past are behind. Nowhere to go but I'll find. Just where the trail will wind. Drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed. I know when night has gone that a new world's born at dawn. I'll keep rolling along. Deep in my heart is a song. Here on the range I belong. Drifting along with a tumbling gone, that a new world's born at dawn. I'll keep rolling along. Deep in my heart is a song. Here on the range I belong. Drifting along with the
talk to me, talk to me, darling, I love the things you say. Talk to me, talk to me, in your own sweet gentle way. Let me hear, tell me dear, tell me you love me so. Talk to me, tell me what I want to know. The many ways you speak of love I've heard before sound so good every time. Please say the part I love just once more. Darling, I'm so glad you're mine. Talk to me, talk to me, hold me close, whisper low. Talk to me, darling, can't you see, baby, I love you so. The many ways you speak of love I've heard before, it sounds so good every time. Please say the part I love just once more. Darling, I'm so glad you're mine. Talk to me, talk to me, hold me close, whisper low. Talk to me, darling, can't you see, baby, I love you so. Talk to me, talk.
darling, I love you so. Yes, I do, honey.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Just can't believe it's true. Every day since I've been gone, I have prayed you'd find someone, 'cause I also love another, dear Joan. You remember when I used to go out with your sister Sue, and then one night, well, we had a quarrel, and then I married you. But I never could stop loving her, and then she said she still loved me. But I was afraid I'd break your heart if I asked you to set me free. I'm so happy now for you, dear Joan, 'cause you solved my problem too. Every day since I've been gone, I have prayed you'd find someone, 'cause I also love another, dear Joan. So many nights I laid